Well, the virus has now killed more than 100 people in China, and new cases have been confirmed around the world.
So you don't want to frighten the American public.
France and South Korea have also got evacuation plans.
But you need to prepare for and assume.
Strongly warning Americans to avoid all non-essential travel to China.
That this is going to be a real serious problem.
France, Australia, Canada, the US, Singapore, Cambodia, Vietnam, the list goes on.
Health officials are investigating more than 100 possible cases in the US.
Germany, a man has contracted the virus.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
Japan, where a bus driver contracted the virus.
Coronavirus has killed more than 100 people there and infected more than 4,500.
We have to prepare for the worst, always, because if you don't and the worst happens.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
It is Saturday, the 10th of April, the year of our Lord, 2021. It is Masters weekend. It's moving day at Augusta National. You're in the War Room here in the nation's capital now with over 46 million downloads on the podcast. Of course, on the John Frederick Radio Network, streamed everywhere by Real America's Voice. Also up on Dish, the satellite, and on Comcast, and of course, Roku, Pluto, all the different streaming services, and in Mandarin, GNews and GTV for our friends and colleagues in mainland China, the Lao Baijing, old hundred names, the deplorables of China, and of course, the diaspora of the Chinese people throughout the world. Welcome aboard. Okay, we're going to start a jammed-packed show. We were trying to do transhumanism. We're working on the second part of that special, but we do have a couple of aspects of that in the second hour. We're going to talk about The Fourth Turning, very interesting book out called The Seventh Crisis about the millennials and their responsibility in this current Fourth Turning. So we're going to have the authors on in the second hour, also going to talk about artificial intelligence, what it means, how it's going to impact your life, this massive report that came out that shows that we're so far behind the Chinese Communist Party. So a lot going on there. Artificial intelligence, one of the key parts of transhumanism. We're going to get into that with an expert from the Pentagon, cybersecurity expert. Okay, that's all to come in the second hour. In the first, we got Darren Beatty. We got a lot breaking on elections, what's happened on November 3rd on the election fraud. Also, what's happening on this 6th January commission that they want to do, all of this. So we'll get to that, but I want to start where we have to right now, and that is the open southern border of these United States. I want to go to the intrepid reporter, the lead investigative reporter for Real America's Voice, who's in Mexico on the Mexican side of our southern border, Ben Berquam. Ben, where do you have us today, sir?
Steve, I brought you to one of the many favelas here in Tijuana. Basically, it's shacks that have been built on the side of mountains and hillsides and ravines, tenement housing, squatters a lot of times that, you know, this is really the shape of a lot of what Mexico and Central America and second and third world countries around the world look like. And you know, the left wants to tell you, well, this is a problem that America caused. This is colonialism. This was, American intervention in a lot of these countries. And there is some history. You know, you have to look at all of the history. And what they never talk about is the impact of socialism in places like Mexico and the redistribution of land in Mexico in the 1935 and Cardenas. You compare that now to what's happening in El Salvador. And really, the bottom line on all of this is countries thrive, communities thrive, and individuals thrive when they have two things, security and opportunity. And that's really what's missing here and so many places around the world. When you have cartel activity, when you have corrupt governments, when you've socialized the government, and now you have people that are basically extorted by the cartels. Many of these communities behind me are controlled by the cartels. Many of them are addicted to drugs. Many of them just have no opportunity. And a cartel comes in and says, hey, we'll pay you double what you're making now, $2 a day instead of $1 a day. And you're just going to be our lookouts for us. All of this plays into the catastrophe that we have on our border and everything else that we see going on around the world. Just the undermining of Western culture.
Yeah. Ben, hang on for one second, because one of the reasons I love having you on, I think you get some of the best visuals. And I include CNN and BBC and guys that have huge production staffs. I think this is one of the real joys of working with the Real America's Voice team is you get some great visuals. This right here says so much. And you can get me off the screen and just let's get Ben in that shot. I want to explain, and particularly our podcast and radio audience, which is massive. But for the TV audience and the streaming audience, you can see. And Ben, this is, now remember, folks, this is right on the border of the United States. So it doesn't get any nicer than this, right? You're close to Nirvana, right. El Norte, right? And look at that right there. That's the reality of the lives of these folks, right? And whether it's socialism or communism and redistribution from the 30s or whatever, or if it's the seven families who are among the wealthiest in the world that own Mexico, right?
That's right.
My point is the reality of their lives, you're seeing it right there. I mean, that is, and you say second world, but it only gets worse as you get south, right? It only gets worse. And so this is what, and this is why President Trump's policy of zero tolerance, remain in Mexico, in a deal with the frontline nations, right? The Northern Triangle, the nations in Central America to try to sort this out. What Kamala Harris is now calling the root causes, right? That's their fancy term, the root causes. you're not going to solve this. You're not going to solve this easily. But Ben, that is such an incredible shot because you see the reality of their daily lives. And when trust me, the cartels, the police and the security forces are no help here. When President Trump had that deal, remember, with Mexico, and the Mexican Marines would come up. We saw them, as you remember, Ben, down in Juarez right there. We built a wall in El Paso. But that is where the cartels thrive in that poverty. The cartels thrive in that misery. So, Ben, give us some details of what you're actually looking at, because I think this shot is amazing. And this says so much about what the reality that people in Washington, D.C. and on Wall Street don't understand what the reality is, sir.
Well, first off, I want to touch on Americans. So I've traveled all over the world. My parents were missionaries in Africa for years. And we've been to third world countries all over the world. Americans, most Americans truly have no concept of what real poverty is. Behind me, you can see these are basically anything that you can find to put together to get a shelter over yourself and your family. This right in this little area here on the side of this mountain, and this is not their property. They've basically taken it over. Mexico, the city of Tijuana has given it over to them. This whole ravine that ultimately runs down into a place called Goat Canyon has been taken over by people that have no other opportunities. They have no other place to go. And you'll see this all over Mexico, not just Tijuana, but like you said, as you go further south, it gets worse and worse and worse. And interestingly enough, you contrast that and you look right across over here. Let me just turn the camera around. On the other side of the mountain, I don't know if you can see that, but right up there, you've got some wealthy estates. And so what you have in these socialized nations is abject poverty and massive wealth. And so you look at what the left says in America, that, you know, we are a terrible nation, that we oppress our people. They don't know what oppression is. They don't know what poverty is. You come down to one of these places, you try to live where your house might fall down the mountain. You can see they've had multiple landslides. It's just, you have no concept of it in America. And we live with this jaded reality that somehow we're oppressed and people, you know, don't have the opportunity. You have the best possible life and opportunity that you possibly can if you look worldwide, if you live in a place like America or any of the Western world. This is what poverty really looks like. And this, like you said, this is where corruption and criminality thrive. When people have no security and somebody comes along, whether it's the cartel or anybody else, and says, I will protect you, well, what do you think they're going to do? I mean, it's human nature. This is it, though. This is the reality. And the other point to this, real quick, the left wants open borders. The reality is, if you had open borders, this is one little section of Tijuana. There are billions of people around the world that live in similar situations. So when you talk about open borders, you're talking about trying to fix a problem by opening the floodgates and inviting you cannot do it. The way to fix this problem is to have the nations themselves fix themselves. Make America great again, make Mexico great again, make El Salvador great again, and do it nation by nation.
This is what President Trump had been, was the humanitarian thing to do, is don't act as a magnet. Because, look, is this not about demonizing those people? If the border is going to be open, you're going to incentivize to come out. Are you going to look at that picture? Are you going to raise your family there? where you're basically preyed upon by the cartels and you're living just above subsistence level? Are you going to do that, or are you going to look across the border and say, hey, I don't care what it takes. If they're taking folks in, if I can get the kids across, I can get in. The kids are an admission ticket, right? That's what we really turn them into. We turn these children into admission tickets.
That's right.
So I'll definitely do that. That's why President Trump, remember, President Trump has got a very, I think, soft and good heart. When they looked at the alternatives, and Navarro talked about this yesterday, being in the Oval, they went to a range of options. Zero tolerance is humanitarian because you're not going to incentivize the cartels. You're not going to incentivize the entire apparatus to start forcing people north, right? And a zero tolerance, remain in Mexico, and then work out a deal with the frontline nations so they can take care of Mexico's southern border, and then work, as Kamala Harris talks, about root causes to make sure that we start to sort this problem out. But don't bring this problem, because the problem is going to rest on working class Hispanics and African Americans across the border, whether it's the Rio Grande Valley, South Texas, whether it's going to be Arizona, or, as you know, Ben, every town's a border town. As we said, you know, we build the wall. We had those conferences. The drugs go up to Chicago. They go up through the Midwest. It spreads all over. And right now, and I want to get in this segment to go talk about Roberta Jacobson, I think, who basically was fired and or quit last night on the Friday night dump. She was the coordinator from the National Security Council for all of Biden's policies on the border. But you're just inviting misery. You're just inviting criminality. You're just inviting the worst actors to exploit the most, the people that can be exploited the most. That is the tragedy of this, and it is our government that's doing it. Ben, talk to us about Jacobson, how bad she was in policy and in messaging.
Well, like you said, this is not you. What they're doing, the open borders nature of the left and this globalist, communist, socialist. When she came along, and we didn't talk about it yesterday, but you were talking about it during the break, was that this? She was talking to the Mexican people, a woman who's fluent in Spanish, and goes on and says that she screwed up by saying the border's open. Clearly, she didn't screw up. Clearly, that was the message. And clearly, by their policies, I don't care what you tell me. I care what you do. And the leftist policies invite that. But what you're inviting into America and with any nation or any prosperous nation is you're importing poverty. You're not importing prosperity. You're importing poverty. And what you're going to do is, just like you said, you're going to destroy the lives of millions of working class people that have escaped it, that have come through legally, that have come through the process, that have come for the American dream. Now all you're doing is destroying that American dream for millions of people across our country.
Yeah, Ben, you say about she screwed up. She had two things. One was that she said she misspoke. And she meant to say the border was closed, but she actually said in Spanish the border's open. And remember, Ben, put it in perspective. This woman was ambassador to Mexico for Obama and for Trump. She was ambassador, I think, up until 2018. She was ambassador for essentially a year and a half under Trump, and she was ambassador to Mexico under Obama. She was confirmed by the Senate, so hey, her Spanish was fine, right? Yeah. I'm not buying the fact they screwed up, right? She was caught, is what she was. She was caught by people. And the other thing she said, remember, she's standing at the podium at the Brady Room. She says, well, you're going to have this problem because you got such pent-up demand because Trump's policies have basically frozen everybody in place. And it's like supply and demand. Oh, just come on. Now that we're here, we got pent-up demand. We got to process it quickly. Let's just open the border. This is why, for this audience, and this is what Ben Burquam, I think, has done better than anybody, but there's been other networks down there doing a good job. She was fired because the numbers have gone against them. They know they need to put another face out there. They've got to get some changes. They're scrambling. The polling on this now is, I think, 60% oppose it. They've got independents that are in the high 50s. People understand that this is a disaster. It's a humanitarian crisis caused by Biden, the progressive left, and the Wall Street faction. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to return to Ben Burquam on the Mexican side of the U.S.-Mexico border when we return in the war. We'll be back in just a moment with the entire posse's on fire this morning. You brought about the resignation / canning of Ambassador Jacobson. Keep up the good work. Back in a minute.
War Room. Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Coming out of rural states here, looking at overall vaccination numbers there, we know that rural residents actually, a higher percentage, 39%, say that they've received at least one dose compared to urban and suburban, both at 31%. But the next graphic sort of tells the story of what likely is to come, and that is this issue of vaccine hesitancy, where you're actually seeing more hesitancy, people saying they definitely will not get a COVID-19 vaccine. If those numbers don't budge, it's going to be very hard to get to herd immunity within, just the adult population. That's why everyone's talking about pediatric trials. Finally, who are these people who are more likely to be hesitant or refuse the vaccine altogether? At least among the rural population, 73% identify as Republicans, 41% identify as white evangelical Christians. Look.
Wow. Talk about bombshells this morning on CNN. That is Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Dr. Gupta, by the way, after the beatdown they gave President Trump with the people that were, on his task force, except for his CDC director, said, yes, I think the virus did come from the Wuhan lab. Dr. Gupta said in an interview with CNN a couple of days later that he is leaning towards that this did not come from a cave in southern China near the Laos border, that in fact it was man-made. He's leaning toward that if there were, to certain legitimate sources. Obviously, not a fan of War Room Pandemic, Dr. Gupta, that was on this story 90 days before you were, I think, Dr. Gupta, that you get paid to do. The bombshell there is that very hard to get to herd immunity with just the adult population if you have enough what they call vaccine hesitancy. Now, they've been playing up this thing about vaccine envy, right, all over the media. That's their new meme. Very hard to get to vaccine, to herd immunity without pediatric applications. That means just not young people. That means children. Pediatric. Bombshell. Buried lead, Dr. Gupta, this morning. Also, another article up, I think CNN had it, but other people had it. I think up to 40% of the United States Marine Corps saying thanks, but no thanks. Not doing it. So there's a lot of controversy of what these numbers are. Every day you hear, oh, it's another 60%. They got jabbed. This doesn't have jab. Dr. Gupta, we're science-based, we're evidence-based, and we're data-based. That's why, sir, back in January of 2020, in the first day of this show, we said, hey, it came from that lab in Wuhan. You know why? We have sources throughout China. That's the reason we started this show back in January. In mid-January, we started reporting on it from New York during the Chinese New Year. Started reporting on this very story on January, I think, 15th, 16th. Why? We're deeply sourced inside of China. We knew exactly what was going on, and we were banging the drum on this thing. When you were wandering around, hey, it's okay to go to, so you and Fauci, it's okay to go to Chinatown. It's okay to go to big dinners down there. Don't need to wear a mask, all that. That was all you. Now, the buried lead, very hard to get to herd immunity. Dr. Gupta, also in Gupta's analysis, where are the people that have had COVID? If they're not putting it up there, part of herd immunity, because the variants, these new variants, and I realize there are many members of our posse in our audience that are highly skeptical about this virus overall and highly skeptical of, are there variants? Understand that. But these variants, I tell you who's not skeptical about it, is the guys in Brazil who I know very well, who the Bolsonaro government is on the ropes right now. Why? Because there's a variant down there. They're the first to tell you, yeah, it's different than the first one. The variant, is that why it's not included in herd immunity? Is that why the 40 million people, and that's probably a huge undercount, why, Dr. Gupta? Because of your continual thing of the testing. So it may be much higher. It could be much higher. Why is that not included in the herd immunity calculation, sir? CNN's got to start to be data-based, evidence-based, and science-based. They got to put this out in front of the American people. It's imperative. Because then you say, with this vaccine hesitancy, and hey, the hesitancy is coming from the United States Marine Corps and our service members, among others. Oh, no, that's not right. It's the evangelical Christians. The evangelical Christians. the Christian supremacists, the Christian dominationists, the Christians. It's the Christians. It's the evangelical Christians, not the soft, you know, liberal Catholic Church. It's not the soft mainstream, you know, Methodists and Episcopalians. It's the evangelical Christians. They're the problem. They're the problem. And in fact, the only solution, this is why we're doing pediatric testing. Pediatric testing, not on the adolescents, on the kids. That's the only way we're going to get to herd immunity, because it's the Christians' problem. Here's the problem. You don't deal with people straight. You don't deal with people with actually what the facts are. What are the facts? And people can, you know, make rational decisions. You guys are driving the vaccine hesitancy. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. However, I do understand why people are sitting there going, do we have enough information on this? Do I really understand what's going on? Are they dealing straight with me? In today's report, very hard to get to herd immunity where we don't know what the denominator is, because you don't tell us how you calculate it. And this is why, because of the Christians, you're going to have pediatric. I'm going to go back to the border to Ben Berquam in a second. Mike Lindell's obviously leading the fight. What happened on November 3rd? Support Mike Lindell. Support the people at MyPillow and support the War Room. Go to War Room. Go to MyPillow.com now. Promo code War Room. Pretty simple. Promo code War Room. You get discounts and everything. Get the Giza Dream Sheets 2-for-1 today, and you got 40% off the slippers. Make sure you go there today. Let's go back to the border. Ben, one of the reasons I think we have vaccine hesitancy, one reason I think people are kind of, you know, don't understand what's really going on is this Brazilian variant a big deal? We're hearing that the British and this are now the things that are driving the surges up in Michigan and other places. And that all gets back to the southern border. You know, these guys want you to have five masks on. They want you to stay inside your house. They want to have other lockdowns. But you're on the border. Is it just coming up through the southern border? Are there any real restrictions down there that you see?
Well, one thing that we're seeing an awful lot of is actually Brazilian crossing, which is interesting because we hadn't heard that over the last several years. Had a lot of Haitians, had a lot of Cubans coming through, had a lot of obviously El Salvadorans and Hondurans. Now we're having a lot of Brazilians come up. And so, again, whether it's anecdotal or coincidental, I think it really goes back to the bottom line is there's just a lack of trust in government and especially in some of these globalist bureaucracies. We look at the CDC, you look at the World Health Organization you look at Fauci, who tells you one thing one day and then seemingly inexplicably the next day or the next week says the exact opposite. And we're just supposed to trust them. When you look at this virus, clearly it's dangerous for some people. I think the evidence is, like you're saying, is pointing towards it being created in a lab. But the bottom line is, for most people, if you're under 50, you have the same chance of dying from choking on your food. Why would anybody take a chance on a vaccine that hasn't been tested? The testing that is being done by on the vaccine is on you, is on people. Why would anyone subject their children to a vaccine that is being tested on their children? So I think there's clear reason for vaccine hesitancy, especially in an age where you don't know if what the science is telling you is science or politics. And so, I mean, that's the bottom line. And then on top of that, you've got millions of people coming into our country. Like you said, I'm supposed to wear five masks. I'm supposed to social distance. I'm supposed to not celebrate our Independence Day in America. Yet we can take a blender, take the lid off it, turn it on, and just spread COVID through America, which is what is happening right now because of our open borders policies.
You know, Peter DeVar says going to be 5 million illegal aliens here in the next 2 years. That's what he's predicting. He was the president's assistant for manufacturing. He's the guy who's on top of the numbers. You talk about trust. You talk about trust, and their heads are going to be blown up. Oh, Ben Berquam's an anti-vaxxer. No, what Ben Berquam's saying about trust, and here's the evidence about trust. Roberta Jacobson is gone. Why is she gone? She got fired, okay? She didn't quit. She got fired. She got fired on the Friday night dump. They hope it goes away because they know there's no trust in her, right? Because she lied about, first off, telling people, hey, the border's open in Spanish. That was cute. Oh, I made a mistake. I actually meant to say it's closed. She's the ambassador to Mexico, ladies and gentlemen, for Obama. She's the ambassador to Mexico for Obama. She had to get confirmed by the Senate, and she was there for a year and a half under Trump. She knows her Spanish well enough. She knows a lot better than Jill Biden. She knows the Spanish enough not to make that mistake. And she said, hey, of course people are going to be coming up. The demand is so great because of the last 4 years. Hey, lady, the purpose is we don't want, this is not supply and demand. We don't have the ability to handle this, as you see on the southern border now. That's the trust issue. But you talk about something being in labs, and we've got about a minute. I'm going to keep you over for the next one, Ben. Talk about something created in labs. One thing we can definitely agree upon, everybody can agree upon, fentanyl is definitely made in by the Chinese, right? And now they're in partnership. It's all kind of stories. You got about 30 seconds. Tee it up, and we'll come back to it. Then now the Chinese, the CCP, and the fentanyl, and the Chinese tongs, the gangs, working hand in glove with the cartel, sir.
Right. And real quick, I'm not anti-vaccine. I just believe in science, real science. So what we're seeing right now, China was the world supplier of fentanyl. They have supplied the precursors to fentanyl to the cartels in Mexico for years now. And what we're seeing is a massive increase in that. So the deaths that we're seeing in America last year, over 80,000 overdose deaths, large part due to that unholy alliance between Chinese drug manufacturers and the cartels in Mexico.
Ben Burquam, the Real America's Voice, lead investigative reporter. He's doing amazing work down on the border of the United States and Mexico. He's on the Mexican side. We're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to turn to Mexico and Ben Burquam. We also got to get Darren Beatty from Revolver.News on the new January 6th commission, what it's going to mean for the deplorables. All next in the War Room.
War Room. Pandemic with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room. Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, leave it to the War Room posse to ask us the question. Hey, is this variant, the Brazilian variant, is it CCP? All I will say about that is actor Li Minyang and the crazy Miles Guo back in, I think it was in June of 2020, almost a year ago, at least 9 months ago or close to it, they said, hey, as soon as you guys get close to putting up vaccines, you're going to see all kind of other variants come up. There's no conspiracy, but there's no coincidence. So you're going to see all kind of variants come up. You're going to see all kind of new plays on this theme come up. Now, we don't know what the actual facts are. Maybe it's just mutating that quickly. But Fauci, in the buried lead in that beatdown of Trump for that 2 hours, did say, when they asked him, he's sitting there, and this shows you what a sociopath he is, that they asked him, he says, yeah, you know, we've never seen anything like this in human history, anything like this virus when it first came out. After telling John Katzmatidis on the 23rd of January, quote, America has nothing to worry about. We have been doing the show already, basically part of the show from New York for a week. He's sitting there. I told Katzmatidis, you know, you got to get somebody on to talk about this. He goes, oh, I know this guy from the Clinton administration, Fauci. Then he calls me up and says, Fauci says, you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, Tony, wrong again. By the way, what do you think? Whether you think it came from a lab, what do you think the Brazilian part is a variant of that, or you think it's a total and complete hoax, and I realize part of our audience thinks that? The one thing you do know is you've got to take action to boost your immune system. That's one thing that has to happen. Nobody else has responsibility for that. Not your kids, not your wife, not your husband, not your significant other, not your parents, not the government, not Ben Burquam, not Steve Bannon, you. You need to take action. Go to warroomdefense.com today. We've got vitamin D3 and zinc. It's free. You got to pay shipping and handling. Go to warroomdefense.com today, and you can check out the War Room Defense Pack. The work on oneself begins with oneself. This show is about agency. Use your agency today. Do it now. WormDefense.com. Okay, I want to go to Ben Burquam. I got Darren Beatty. He's in the pattern above the show right now, ready to come in here with some more explosive news about what's happening this weekend. But I got to go back to Ben. Ben, you're doing an amazing job. One of the reasons, and this is for the posse, one of the reasons Jacobson's gone is the polling numbers are so bad on this. And because we're so relentless about bringing the truth out, and this audience is so massive with activists that they understand, they're pushing out the content, that independents are starting to flip on this. Biden understands they got a real problem with this. That's why Jacobson walked the plank last night. She's gone. Okay? And trust me, hey, next thing you're going to do, Kamala Harris is going to be down there on the border. She's not going to hide from this anymore. She's hiding in Brentwood. She's hiding up in Oakland. She's going to get a muffin, right? I have no problem with a person getting a muffin. No problem. Go get a donut. Get a couple of donuts. Have zero problem with that. But if you're going to be on the board, if you're going to be the head of this, take step into decisions. Be the head of it. And that means you have to go down there. And don't talk to me about you're going to focus on root causes. That's a decades-long issue that we got to sort out. You got to get down there. You must get down there to where Ben Burquam is. Open invite. Ben Burquam will walk you around and show you what he's seen over the last couple of months. So, Ben, give us an assessment. We got to get to Darren Beatty, but give us an assessment of where your reporting is going. You're doing an amazing job. Now this big, we're going to have experts in next week about the Chinese tongs and the CCP working hand in glove with the cartels because they see open season now. Human trafficking, drug trafficking, right? Sex trafficking, and particularly fentanyl. That's their high margin business, that fentanyl, right? They're going to pour that poison. This is the reverse opium wars. Right, what the British did to them back in the early 19th century, they're bringing full on here. You want an opium war? We got it. It's called fentanyl, and you're going to get all of it, America. We're going to addict as many of these working class people that have lost their manufacturing jobs because look at Mr. Floyd. I said this before. What would his life have been like if we had stood up to the CCP? We'd had a great manufacturing job. He'd have been a foreman or been one of the lower level management. He would have had a summer home. His body wouldn't be riddled with fentanyl. The poison that is brought in by the Chinese Communist Party through the southern border, and the Mexican cartels are making the money off guys like Mr. Floyd. That's who's making the money. We've let down our citizens. Yes, sir.
80,000 deaths last year from overdoses, 80,000 deaths. And Joe Biden and the Democrats want to confiscate your ARs that caused about 300 deaths. This is the bait and switch that the left always does. By the way, going back to Roberta real quick, Jacobson, we talked about that. The left thinking that this was going to be a slam dunk for them and ended up being a terrible, their policies were utter disasters. It's ironic because I always ask socialists and communist supporters, name one society that's ever flourished under socialism or communism. And the answer I always get is, well, it's just never been done right. So the mentality of many of these people is that, well, they're just going to do it right. They're just going to implement it right. And just like these policies, we're just going to open our borders and it's all of a sudden just going to work. No concept of how these things actually work. But it is. This is the epidemic. You want to talk about a pandemic, an epidemic, the drug epidemic that we see. And it's because China and the cartels only care about one thing, and that's power, money and power. Money gives them power. And so they don't care if millions of people die at their hands, as long as it increases their power. And this is one of those areas that we're going to have to keep digging in on because there is. The Mexican cartels are feeding America fentanyl that comes from China.
I want everybody in the TV and live stream audience and for our podcast and radio, look, give me a full shot. Denver, you don't need me. As good as I looked this morning with my freshly washed hair. That right there is reality. That's what we're dealing with. There's no hope there. There's nothing but despair there. Okay? And that's northern Mexico. That's the Riviera. That's like Switzerland compared to the rest of down to southern Mexico and into Central America and into places in Brazil and these other places they're coming up from. Or Haiti. Haiti, there's no hope. Here's the hope. The border's open. Biden's keeping people. And I got to get across while we can before they shut it down, before Trump comes back in office or the Trump folks force the policies back. And that's breeding ground for that's where the cartels feed off of. That's where the Chinese Communist Party feeds off of.
Yep.
And it's not and opening our borders and putting that problem right there onto the shoulders of the Hispanic working class in the Rio Grande Valley. This is why they vote for Trump. And I don't need hear, there are RNC meetings down in Palm Beach and all the donors. They want to know how we align working. Hell with the donors. We don't need donors. You need policies. You need votes. And those votes among Hispanic and African-American working class people are saying, hey, what Joe Biden's going to do is make that problem my problem. And that problem ought to be the seven richest families in Mexico, right?
That's
and
right.
The other globalists that are foisting us on that. That problem right there is Carlos Slim's problem. Okay?
That's right.
Not the hardworking folks in Del Rio, Texas. And as soon, and I don't need a bunch of donors come and say, oh, no, we got to tone down this populism. We got to tone down this nationalism because we need a big tent. We got to, hey, we've got working class and middle class people and hundreds of millions in this country, hundreds of millions that understand now what Biden's doing is playing to the globalist Wall Street and Chamber of Commerce and the radical left, right? That's when he's foisting that problem right there on the working class Hispanics and working class African Americans from Chicago to Detroit all the way down to the border. And I don't need a bunch of donors, you know, drinking champagne cocktails in Palm Beach, right, over at the Four Seasons and sitting there going, no, you got to tone this stuff down. No, we are not toning it down. We're revving it up. Because
yeah, no, we've been
the realignment in this country is going to bring us victory after victory after victory. Ben Burquam.
We've been toned down for too long. We've accepted the premise for too long. We have to show reality and we have to stand on reality. It's time for the people of this world, the populace of this world, the liberty lovers of this world to stand up, to expose and to take this nation back and the nations of the world back. That's the bottom line.
Amen, Ben Burquam. Look forward to having you on Monday. Godspeed, sir. You're doing amazing work.
Thank you,
Real
sir.
America's Voice, lead investigative reporter on the Mexican border. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Data-based, evidence-based, science-based. I can't think of a better follow-up there. Darren Beatty, I thought the smartest guy in the White House next to President Trump and one of the smartest guys in the populist nationalist movement and founder or one of the founders of, I think, a brilliant news site, Revolver.News. And this weekend, he is particularly blowing up NBC News with his, investigative reporting. So, Darren, I tell you what, let's play for our audience, maybe come to Saturday. Does Denver have the clip? Can we play the clip? My favorite, Mika. Do we have Mika? Okay, we got Mika. Let's hear her first.
Let's turn now to the special you have this Sunday. Very important, taking a closer look at the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th. It's a joint investigation with NBC News, Bellingcat, and its volunteers, in which you comb through hours of video and dig through the backgrounds of insurrection leaders. And in this clip, you speak with a Capitol police officer who was on the front line about the personal attacks he experienced from rioters. Take a look.
So this is not War Room. Not Steve Bannon's not picking on Mika, right? We're not picking on Mika. A joint investigation by NBC News and Bellingcat about the insurrection. Has that been officially designated as an insurrectionist? Has that been designated? Remember, Mika, we're science-based, evidence-based, data-based. That's what we are, right? That's what we are. Your father was that. You know, I'm a huge fan of your father. Your father is actually a greater geopolitical thinker than Henry Kissinger, by far. He predicted the situation we'd be in the technocratic age. So you got to get up to like that level, joint investigation, insurrectionist, insurrection. Darren Beatty, what is she talking? What is Bellingcat? What's this joint investigation? And are there insurrectionists out there?
Well, just a quick note on Mika's father, who is an interesting character in our history. He also was one of the pioneers of the modern practice of, quote unquote, arming the Sunni rebels, which has had a an interesting history in our geopolitics. But yes, Bellingcat.
Remember, certain periods of time, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So I'm actually a pretty big fan.
That's how I think about the globalist American empire. But so we were on yesterday. We were talking about this explosive Revolver.News piece on the deep state basically categorizing the entire MAGA movement in terms of 9/11, basically framing the MAGA movement as domestic terrorists and trying to characterize the events of 1/6 as a new 9/11 that requires its own 9/11 style commission and putting together this narrative that would justify basically marshaling the full weight and force and really brutality of the national security state domestically against Trump supporters. In the course of that segment, unbeknownst to me, we had this nice little clip of Mika telling us about the Bellingcat's joint investigation with NBC News. Now, so I just like to remind your viewers here, Bellingcat has not yet gotten the full and official revolver treatment. This is just what happens to be in our vault, sitting in our vault at the moment. So
I'll tell you, Darren, hang on. I went on such a long rant. We're going to hold you over, obviously, for the next block and hopefully part of the one after that. Let's take a quick commercial break. Let's pay some bills. We're glad to have Darren Beatty. By the way, Darren, you know what's interesting? You actually look like you rolled out of bed more on Saturday morning than when you normally come on here on weekday mornings. you make me look squared away. Okay, short commercial break. Back with Darren Beatty, founder of Revolver.News, next.
War Room, Pandemic, with Stephen K. Bannon.
The epidemic is a demon, and we cannot let this demon hide.
War Room, Pandemic. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, support the fight, support Mike Lindell, support MyPillow and the War Room. Go to MyPillow.com today. In fact, do it right now. It's Saturday. It's your shopping day. Go to MyPillow.com, type in promo code War Room. Get the Giza sheets, big discounts on the sheets, huge discounts on the slippers, up to 66% discount on certain products and all discounts across the board. So go there today. 800-873-1062 or mypillow.com, but you got to put in the promo code War Room. Okay, I want to turn now back to Darren Bay. So Darren, take it away.
So let's just start with Bellingcat. And as I mentioned, Bellingcat has not gotten the full and official revolver treatment. They will shortly, and I will be thrilled to be back to make it official and cover revolver piece on Bellingcat. But just the quick Bellingcat for Dummies, as it were. What is this organization? We heard them mentioned in that short clip as partners with NBC to effectively dox, investigate, just try to ruin anyone associated with 1/6. So what is this organization? Are they just some independent group, or is it something more sinister? And again, I think it's always important with these little investigative dives to keep in mind the broader context. And the broader context, driven home by the Revolver News piece about the deep state people and signing that 9/11 piece, one of our best performing pieces of the past several months, by the way. So if you haven't looked at it, go to revolver.news. One of the key themes illustrated by that piece and now this Bellingcat piece, now this Bellingcat issue, is the fact that our national security apparatus is involved in targeting domestic politics. It's involved in targeting citizens. The purpose of our national security apparatus is chiefly to defend us from foreign adversaries. And instead, they are targeting domestic population for political reasons. So what is Bellingcat? It is not just some independent group operating objectively. No, it is deeply intertwined with the intelligence communities of both the United States and the UK. Now, to tell the full story, I'd have to get into the National Endowment for Democracy. I mentioned a little bit. Suffice it to say that they are funded in part by the National Endowment for Democracy. And the National Endowment for Democracy is effectively one of the means that the United States outsources its intelligence work, particularly its propaganda, its narrative shaping work, to shape the narratives that lend support to whatever kind of government operation is going on. And so the co-founder of the National Endowment for Democracy, Alan Weinstein, he has a money quote, killer quote. He said, "A lot of what we do today was done covertly 25 years ago by the CIA. Okay, so this organization that is basically the privatized CIA when it comes to propaganda is funding Bellingcat. That's interesting. So there's another piece that I uncovered. It's titled, "Bellingcat Can Say What the U.S. Intelligence Can't." And we have a nice quote by former CIA deputy Mark Polymeropoulos. He says, quote, "I don't want to be too dramatic, but we, the CIA, love Bellingcat." We love Bellingcat. Why? Because Bellingcat, like a number of other NGOs, has its job to essentially carry water for the narratives that the intelligence community wants to promote. And so if you look at Bellingcat's history, it's all over the Syria stuff. They were the cheerleaders. They were the investigative cheerleaders for regime change in Syria. The whole Assad gassed his people, which basically turned out to be highly problematic, if not altogether false. They were at the forefront of that. They're at the forefront of a number of bizarre Russia stories, the latest one being that there was some kind of poison underwear that Putin gave to Navalny, and somehow the poison underwear was supposed to be activated by the sweat from his genitalia, but then that botched. It's some ridiculous stuff. And that's okay. That's their business. But what makes it our business is when they get into the business of attacking American citizens for their political affiliations. And that's what they've been doing recently. And in fact, we have the story that you show with Mika, Bellingcat working to basically destroy the lives of people associated with 1-6. Another thing that they do is they launder their people into quote unquote legit organizations like NBC. And one of their alumna, someone called Brenna Smith, she was an alumna of Bellingcat, and she recently gained notoriety for a piece in the USA Today, basically subtly trying to make it impossible for defendants associated with January 6th to raise money. And then again, that ties into that Revolver.News piece, the 9/11 frame saying, oh, we need to look into their money sources as though they were terrorists. One thing they tried to do with terrorists, cut off their access to the financial system. They're trying to do that to MAGA now. They're trying to do that to Trump supporters. So Bellingcat, in a nutshell, is one of several sort of NGO, quasi-private institutions that does the dirty work for intelligence agencies. And unfortunately, the work of intelligence agencies doesn't only entail right now ginning up lies to get us into the latest disastrous regime change operation. Now the intelligence agencies have arrogated into their portfolio basically a task of war on terror 2.0 against the American citizenry, against Trump, against you, against me, against all of us.
We're going to keep – we would love to keep you over just briefly in the next segment. But just real quickly, she said volunteers. They're financed by U.S. – the people in this audience right now are writing the checks for these guys, right? These NGOs –
they're paid by U.S. taxpayers. They're paid by U.S. taxpayers, and it's an outrage now under Biden. But think of this. They were up to this scam. They were up to this nonsense during Trump's presidency. And that's one of the many frustrations of the Trump presidency, is that, you know, Trump could have killed funding for this. I thought it would have been glorious if Trump had killed funding for the National Endowment for Democracy as such, for the Atlantic Council as such. There's so many organizations that your viewers need to know about, because those are the people who are prosecuting this war against them.
Okay. Short commercial break. We're going to return. We're going to talk. I got to finish up with Darren Beatty from Revolver.News. Talk about this commission. There's going to be a commission like the 9/11 commission. They're pushing a 6 January commission. When we return in the war room.